It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am, again in this city, with a fistful of dollars. And baby, you better believe
I'm back in New York. I'm back.
You're listening to the Yanks Go Yard Podcast. Here's your host, Ricky Keeler.
And welcome back, everybody, to all new episode of the Yanks Go Yard Radio Show. I'm your host, as always, Senior Staff Eric Keeler. We thank you for joining us here on a Monday night. Only a few shows left in the regular season, and with the way the Yankees have played, at least over the weekend, it looks like that's the amount of shows we've got left, as the Yankees get swept in four games at Fenway Park for the first time since 1990. They still have at least a small chance, but put it this way, I wouldn't go out and buy postseason tickets right now. And when you look at this series as a whole, a lot of things went wrong. For one, Hanley Ramirez put on an absolute show, a walk-off home run Thursday night, two home runs last night. It was the Yankees' inability to hold lead. I mean, they had the lead early on Thursday, had a 5-1 lead, couldn't hold it. Had the lead last night, up 4-0, couldn't hold it. And, I mean, it falls on the bullpen. Really, the bullpen did not do their job. But I wouldn't give the bulk of the blame to the bullpen. Right now, you look at this series, it's on Joe Girardi. And I've been Joe Girardi's biggest supporter. But at the same time, the way he managed Thursday, I absolutely hate it. Because you look at the situation where you got a 5-2 lead. You tell me Dell Batanzas isn't available a third day in a row. And I watched him watched the game Wednesday against the Dodgers. He did not look right. And he has not looked right at times since becoming the closer. To go to Tommy Lane, and then, for one, Joe Girardi's got to have more trust in Tommy Lane. That's a different story. To ask Batanzas to come in a game where he probably isn't expecting to pitch. Remember we always had to talk about David Robertson pitching 3 days in a row? Remember it was like, oh, Miller can't pitch 3 days in a row, things like that. Now Dell has been used 4 times 3 days in a row. That can't happen. And the Red Sox took advantage of it. Dell couldn't get his breaking ball over the plate, or he kept relying on his breaking ball way too much. And then Hanley hits the big 3-run homer. Then you have the struggles by Sessa Friday night. Yankees really didn't get much going against Clay Buchholz. And then last night, 4-0 lead. And again, Joe Girardi relying way too much on CC Sabathia. He's having to throw over 100, almost 110 pitches. CC's been good for this team, but he's not worth throwing 110 pitches for. This is not the case. And then you have the situation last night where Hanley hits the home run lead off the seventh after Blake Parker does a great job getting out of the sixth. Tyler Clipper, really, his only bad moment in a Yankee uniform was that home run. Now you tack on the fact that the Yankees have their own fair share of injuries right now. You got Starlin Castro, who's out now because of a hamstring strain. He missed yesterday's game. He's probably going to be out the rest of the season. That's a big injury. You have Jacoby Ellsbury as well. And you look at the way the Yankees had that lineup last night, as Ellsbury, again, is still out of the lineup. And you're throwing out there Donovan Solano, who came up from AAA. You're throwing out there Mason Williams. Now, you'll get Aaron Hicks back likely in Tampa Bay, which is a big plus. But this is not your usual lineup, let's just put it that way right now. So the Yankees, again, they're still in it, but they've got to sweep this series. And you look at these last 13 games, you probably have to win 11 of them just to have a chance. And that schedule after Thursday is brutal. The schedule for September is brutal. Now, again, this is not a disappointing season. The Yankees, you have to be grateful they've even at least played some meaningful baseball. I don't even think the Yankees thought they were going to be playing meaningful baseball with a few weeks to go. I mean, that goes straight. I mean, Girardi usually does a good job with the bullpen. He had a horrible weekend. Is it grounds for firing him? No. But you have every right to criticize him, and if you want to give him 100% blame, you give him 100% blame, because the offense, I thought, was okay. I mean, you look at Saturday's game. To even have the lead against David Price, the way Price has been pitching lately, to even have a chance for Brian Mitchell to pitch okay in that game, and you can't find a way to win that one either. This is a Yankee team that, when they had the big three, was holding leads and doing a great job preserving wins. They're not doing that now, or at least recently. And while Warren's been a good thing for the Yankees, and Clipper's been a good thing for the Yankees, they're not the Sanchez, Miller, and Chapman. Everybody knew that. Now, at the same time, Gary Sanchez continues to rake, hit a couple more home runs, including one last night, hit one on Saturday, too. And now you've got to start thinking about it. If Gary Sanchez gets to 20 in terms of home runs, can he win Rookie of the Year, play only 2 months? He just might. And he's had a remarkable season. We're going to get to talk about the final series of Tropicana Field for the Yankees this season. They go to Tampa Bay to take on the Rays. Rays still playing some spoilers. They play Baltimore tough this weekend at Camden Yards. So we'll get our thoughts from Althea Pashman in a second. We want to remind you can call the show at any time tonight. 347-324-5455 is the number to call in. It's 347-324-5455. You can also tweet us on Twitter at YGY Radio Show, at YankSoyardFS, or tweet me on Twitter, at RickNator555. So without further ado, let me bring in my guest for the evening. She is the editor over at Rays Colored Glasses. So now it's time for us to put on our Rays Colored Glasses and welcome Althea Pashman back to the show. Althea, welcome. How are you tonight?
I'm feeling fantastic, Ricky, for having me on the show again.
Absolutely happy to have you. So let's get started talking about these Rays. And as I said just a second ago, Althea, they've been playing some pesky baseball as of late. You have a Rays team that, you look at that Baltimore series, very close contested game. Three of the four games decided by one run. They were able to win Saturday's game by 3-5-2. They beat Toronto 2 out of 3. So after struggling against the Yankees, losing 3 out of 4 last week in the Bronx, Tampa Bay has responded, and it's starting to make these AL East teams earn those wins and at least making it tougher for them.
No doubt about it. Despite, some of the injuries that have crept up in the last couple of weeks, which we'll get, talk about a little bit later, the Rays came in, knowing what they had as far as, their offense, and this was one good way, and a fantastic indication, being able to play such tight games and even be the spoiler looking ahead, to 2017. It's a positive for them, and it's really good to see.
Absolutely, because at least you want to see some fight in this team, and especially when you're in that situation to be a spoiler, it's like that team's postseason. The Yankees, I'm sure, are going to feel that way maybe in the final week of the season when they host Baltimore and Boston and try to knock them out. But this is a Rays team out there that you just mentioned has had its fair share of injuries. Because you look at Logan Morrison being out. You talked about him last week as being one of those guys that could be of use to the team. Matt Duffy is out with the ACL, so they haven't really had a chance to evaluate Duffy after making that Matt Moore trade. How big are those injuries to this team? I know you talked about Morrison last week, but now with Alexi Ramirez as the new shortstop, maybe he has a chance to make a good impression going into next year.
Absolutely. No doubt the Rays right now are very disgruntled with the attitude of Tim Beckham. And it's a shame because even though, he is hot and cold, so to speak, there is the potential there. But the way it looks now, it's very, very possible that Alexi Ramirez could work his way onto the team for next season. At the same time now, you have an injury to Stephen Souza Jr., who's going to be out for the rest of the year. He's going to undergo hip impingement surgery on Wednesday. So there is now the need for a little bit more flexibility in looking at a guy like Brad Miller. Right now, the Rays have not said if they're going to add anybody to take Souza's spot or if they're going to continue to go with who's currently on the roster in the outfield spots. on whether or not they are going to move Brad Miller and have him play a little bit more in the outfield. Personally speaking, I would prefer to keep Miller where he's at first base, and if anything happens, spell Ramirez, you know, here and there at shortstop, because they're also without Nick Franklin. And Nick Franklin has done an admirable job as far as playing all over the place. And in my opinion, you know, one of the things just jumping ahead just a bit to next year, Franklin could be the new Ben Zobrist, in the sense that he can play the outfield, he can play the infield. And in doing some research, I found that he even pitched at one point, not professionally, but he did, you know, while in high school. So that ability with him being healthy, and it would probably lead to me thinking that he's not going to be back this year. You have Miller right now, you know, and Ramirez, who are going to share the duties probably, you know, at shortstop. So it just amazes me how they have come through, even with, you know, games short, you know, a couple of weeks remaining in the season, and with just a handful of games left, that there is such fight in this team.
Now, what are the major offseason acquisitions for the Rays? With bringing in a guy like Corey Dickerson and that Jake McGee, you know, obviously Alex Colomé has kind of helped the fact that McGee is not there to close games anymore. But you look at what Dickerson has done this season, first year out of Colorado. The average is low, 243, with 21 home runs, 63 RBIs. He's hitting over 300 this month so far. How would you evaluate Dickerson's first year in Tampa Bay?
Well, one of the things that, you know, everybody talked about was that, you know, how would he hit outside of Coors Field? You know, Coors Field being, you know, the hitter's ballpark. Now you come into Tropicana Field, which is really known as a pitcher-friendly ballpark. I think in the sense, overall, he has had excellent success on the road, hasn't done as well at home. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of getting used to playing in the new league. The home runs, we know he's very capable, you know, of hitting. He's got the 20 home runs and 62 RBIs, you know, going into the series against the Yankees. He's been very inconsistent. But, again, I think that has a lot to do with not playing at Coors Field, but National League versus American League. Getting to know the pitchers, getting to know the umpires, because even though your umpires are still, you know, all grouped, they're major league umpires now. There's no American League and there's no National League, you know, for the high strike zone and the low strike zone that we had to deal with for many years. But you still see a difference in American League game versus a National League game with how umpires call. So in this particular instance, I think the success that he showed this year is very indicative of what the Rays expected of him. He has played much better of late. He got off to a horrible, horrible start, as did Logan Morrison. And it's taken that time, and maybe this is what it really took for him to get going. It's unfortunate in a way that the season's not starting now for some of these guys, because they are playing excellent ball. And I think we've just seen the beginning of what Corey Dickerson can do. The other thing with Dickerson is I think the Rays need to look at him strictly as a designated hitter and maybe, you know, play once in a five-game or a six-game streak, you know, against the team. But keep him in that position where he's more successful. I think if he's got too much to think about, it tends to take him away from being the hitter that he can be. And again, that's a certain line frame that you have to have in order to be a designated hitter. And since he's been doing most of that of late, you can see the success that he has when he's able to just concentrate and get a rhythm going for that.
I know you don't want to look too much into home road splits, but and Dickerson has actually hit the ball well on the road this season, 280 with 16 home runs. But I was a traffic kind of field out there, and I don't think it's that hard to hit in that ballpark. Am I reading too much in the fact that this guy is barely hitting over 200 at home this year?
Yeah, I really do. One of the things about playing in the trop, which is really, really hard, it's not that it's, quote, the pitcher's ballpark, because, truthfully speaking, lots of balls are hit in Tropicana Field, and they're hit hard. I think the biggest problem is the trop with a lot of the players on the Rays coming into a facility where you don't have a crowd behind you. And what tends to happen, and believe me, I've been many a games, you know, covering the Rays, sitting up in the press box, sitting before 9,000, 10,000 fans, sometimes even less than that, to where you can actually hear the opposing players talking. And as a batter, and as a player on a home team, when you hear certain things, you're all of a sudden that seems to be the only thing you pick up upon. The success that they've had when they play in front of a big crowd at home is an enormous positive effect on a team. And that's one of the things that it seems to be a big problem for a lot of the, you know, the players. And I take Dickinson for that fact, who just can't get, I think, maybe accustomed to hitting in front of small crowds. Because in the National League, no matter where you go, you're playing before 25, 30,000 people, regardless. And in the National League, where you do have a few dome stadiums, a lot of the times the dome is open. So you're not enclosed all the time. And I don't know if there's ever been a study done, if it's ever been discussed, but I really think that the situation with the Rays not having that crowd behind them all the time tends to hurt them.
Talking live about Thea Pashman from Rays Colored Glasses here on the Yankees Clear Eyed Radio Show. I'm your host and your staff writer, Rick Keeler. Getting you set for Yankees Rays beginning tomorrow night. Last off day for the Yankees this season, of course, being today. So let's take a look at the standings right now. Of course, a couple teams playing tonight, so we'll keep you updated on what's going on. Yankees, of course, 77-72, 8 games behind the Boston Red Sox in the AL East, and that the AL East is over. They're not going to catch the Red Sox in that regard. So take that out of the equation. Red Sox are hosting in Baltimore, actually, tonight for the beginning of a 4-game series. Baltimore is 3 games back. Right now in that game, the Red Sox with a 2-1 lead in the top of the 5th inning. Mookie Betts with another home run, his 31st of the season, a 2-run shot in the 3rd. Dylan Bundy is starting against Rick Porcello in this one for the Red Sox. Porcello trying to get win number 21. He's had an outstanding season. So that game going on right now at Camden Yards. Also tonight, Toronto, and that's going to be a huge game for the Blue Jays. They are currently 4 games back in the AL East, but they've been terrible. Lost the last couple games to the Angels of late. And you look at the wild card right now. Baltimore has the first wild card spot. Toronto's got the second. But Detroit's only 2 games back. They have the night off tonight, and they'll go to Minnesota for a few games this week. Seattle, they're only 2 back, despite losing 2 out of 3 to the Astros this weekend. And Seattle is hosting Toronto meeting tonight for a 4-game set. So this is a huge series here for the Mariners. If they can find a way to win this series, they could be in that second wild card spot. They have been the hottest team in baseball in September. And I think, personally, the Yankees don't make it. I know it would hurt people to see Robinson Cano make the playoffs sometime with the Mariners. But to see Felix Hernandez get a chance to pitch on the big stage, I kind of want to see that. He'll get the pitch later on in this series, so that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Astros very quietly still just 3 back, and they're going to Oakland. A's, of course, out of it, so Houston's got an opportunity as well. Yankees are 4 back. Royals, they won today, but they are 4.5 back. They're hoping for a Blue Jay loss tonight just to go to 4 back. So right now you're looking at, I think, Baltimore, Toronto, Detroit, and Seattle give Houston a shot. And again, the Yankees, with all their injuries, expect them to go 11-2 is a stretch. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on, of course, in that Red Sox Orioles game, which the Red Sox just took a 3-1 lead on a Pedroia-based hit. Let's look at tomorrow night's matchup, 7:05 Eastern, first pitch. You can catch it on YES and on Fox Sports Sun in Tampa Bay. It's Drew Smyly for the Rays. Smyly 7-11 with a 4.98 ERA against Michael Pineda for the Yankees. Pineda 6-11 with a 4.94, and the Rays are dominating against Pineda this season. We'll get more into that in a little bit. But, Althea, let's talk about Drew Smyly, a guy that we don't get a chance to talk a lot about when you look at his rotation. We've seen more of Chris Archer, seen more about his Cobb now that he's back, or Rizzi. You look at Drew Smyly's season, he got off to a rough start, but this is also a guy that the last time he lost a game, you have to go back to July 18th. So he has done a much better for the Rays in the second half of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy is 5-0 with a 3.81 ERA, and opposing hitters are only hitting .224 off of him over his last 10 starts. And that ties the longest winning streak of his career, which he set back last year with the Rays. At the same time, what he has done the second half of the year for him has been, fantastic. And again, for him, this is a positive going into 2017. The toughest thing for him is the fact that he's given up a career-high 31 home runs, which is tied for third most in the American League and third most in club history. It's a shame that the way he's pitching now didn't happen the first half of the season, which is what the Rays had hoped for. At the same time, going in against the Yankees, he's 2-0 this season against them with a 2.08 ERA in two starts. And he last faced them on July 30th at home and picking up a win at that time. But in career starts against the Yankees, he's had great success. He's 3-0 with a 1.91 ERA. And, to see Smyly pitch the way he is pitching right now, you cannot take anything away from him. Again, the toughest thing for him is this year is giving up those home runs, and that has hurt him tremendously. And hopefully the Yankees won't attack him too much for that. And, the Rays at least can get something out of this in the game tomorrow night.
You look at Smyly's success against the Yankees, like Althea mentioned, he's been great against New York this season. 2-0 with a 2.08 ERA, 12 strikeouts, 2 walks, in 13 innings. Again, the home runs are an issue. The Yankees, you look at that lineup right now, it's not as daunting with the injuries, especially Judge being out for the year, Castro probably out for the year. Ellsbury's got that knee issue. Chase Headley's got the back issue. So definitely a must. Maybe you just don't pitch to Gary Sanchez if you Drew Smyly. So that's really one of those things you might have to work on a little bit. But we'll see what happens. One of the things the Yankees did when they made the Billy Butler deal, they got him to face left-handed pitching. And Billy Butler had some good success against Smyly, 7-for-19 with a double and a home run in his career. Brett Gardner's had terrible numbers, 1-for-10, but he does have a home run. So maybe those long balls come back to bite Smyly. But the one guy who gives up a lot of long balls like Smyly is Michael Pineda, 24 home runs this season. Now, Pineda has run into some bad luck with weather. We've talked about it a lot on this show. He had the rain delay on August 16th against the Blue Jays, shortened his outing to 5 innings. He had the rain delay outing against the Rays when that game had 3 rain delays. Couldn't finish the 5th inning. Then against the Dodgers, a game I went to last week on Wednesday, he's looking so great through 3 innings. He gets out of bases loaded in the 4th with a big double play. And his outing ends after 82 pitches when he's striking out 5. He's doing a good job against a pretty strong lineup with the Dodgers have right now. But really, Michael Pineda can't catch a break. He hasn't finished 5 innings since August 29th. And Joe Girardi, when you look at how he's handled pitchers, he has a really quick hook with Michael Pineda. And rightfully so, because you can have a guy go 3 perfect innings and then give up 5 runs in the 4th. That's just the way that Michael Pineda is. But it's going to be nice to see him pitch in a dome where it can't rain, and he can actually get through an outing, or at least hopefully not collapse in an outing. Pineda has had awful numbers against the Rays this season. He's 0-3 with a 9.31 ERA. The Rays have 8 home runs against him, and they're hitting almost .360. Not exactly the team that Michael Pineda wants to face right now. He's also just won 2 of his 14 road starts this year. So all things considered, this matchup does not look pretty for the Yankees on paper. Some of the numbers for the Rays against Pineda: Corey Dickerson is 6-for-10 with a home run and 3 RBIs, and swing most of those numbers this year. But So for some reason, Pineda has good success against Evan Longoria, who's just 5 for 30 with a home run, 4 RBIs, and 10 strikeouts. I'm going to go with the Rays in this one. Drew Smyly's on a roll. Michael Pineda really has a problem just finishing 5 innings, rain or otherwise. So at this point, you look at where the Rays are. They're playing much better baseball. The Yankees are reeling. They can't seem to hold leads. And Pineda might put them in an early lead, early deficit, excuse me, right away. So I'm going to go Tampa Bay. Let's go 8-3. I don't really trust Pineda in this one. Althea, your thoughts on tomorrow night's opener?
Excuse me. I agree with you on that. I think we're going to see a couple of long balls hit. I predict also a big score, and I'm going with a 10-2 score.
Turning to Wednesday night's matchup, 7:10 Eastern, catching on YES and Fox Sports Sun. Alex Cobb will start for the Rays. He's 1-0 with 3.06. Against Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees, he's 13-4 with a 2.97, and he continues to dominate. We'll get into Tanaka in a second. Let's talk about Cobb. Althea, you talked a little bit about him in the last show because Cobb pitched in that last Yankee series. This is going to be, of course, his fourth start back, and he's faced Toronto twice, and now he's going to face the Yankees twice. But Cobb coming off a really strong outing in Toronto. Again, the Blue Jays are scuffling right now, but one run, two hits over nearly 7 innings against that lineup is pretty darn good.
Absolutely. I've been very, very impressed with how Cobb has come out. Each start that he's made has gotten stronger. And Cobb has even said, winning is great. To pick up a win would be great, but the most important thing for him is to be able to go out there and make sure that his mechanics are 100%. He wants to have the stamina to go out there and to pitch in, long innings. I believe in his last start, he had a little rough start, but then calmed down and everything worked out really well for him. I'm very, very impressed, with what he has done and how he has done it. And no doubt having him back will certainly, boost this team. And, let's be honest here. He pitched, one run ball, against the Blue Jays, in his last start. And the thing is, he truthfully is the ace of this team. And having him here, and I remember saying it the last time I was on the show, that he has had a very calming effect on the rotation. And I believe you can really see that now with how the Rays have played over the last couple of weeks that he's been back. So I'm looking at Cobb as being very good tomorrow night, in game two of the series against the Yankees. But again, he's going up against the very tough Michael Pineda, and that is going to be, Marichal Tanaka. It's going to be tough because Tanaka has owned the Yankees this year, has owned the Rays this year, and if I'm not mistaken, in his last outing, defeated the Yankees, the Rays, having one of these moments here tonight. Excuse me for that. So my feeling in this one, I think this is going to be a pitcher's ball game, and it's going to be a close game and probably a one- or two-run game. And not that I don't want to see Cobb take the game, but I think the Yankees are going to take game two of the series, and I'm calling it a 2-1 game in favor of the Yankees.
I'm liking the low-scoring matchup. Of course, Cobb again faced the Yankees back on September 8th at the stadium. He had 14 ground ball outs, which is very good considering you go up in that ballpark. The one issue you're going to have is Brian McCann, who hit two home runs in that ball game. That was a game that had a lot of home runs in it, by the way. That was the Tyler Austin walk-off home run that night. But three starts, Cobb has done an excellent job. 6 runs in 17 2/3 innings. Again, with your expectations coming off the injury that he had, you're just looking for him to stay healthy and put together a strong season or a strong end to the season. So, Cobb, I would expect to put up some good numbers here. Ellsbury hitting only 200. We'll even see if Ellsbury gets to play. I think that's a big question mark here. You also have Brett Gardner, 4 for 18. Brian McCann, 4 for 10, but two of those hits are a pair of home runs. And we'll see what happens with Cobb. You mentioned Tanaka, Althea, and Tanaka has been fantastic. Going into that game against the Red Sox, He had no strikeouts. And against that lineup, usually if you have a pitcher not striking out anybody, you're going to have some problems. And Tanaka was outstanding. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits. He had 18 ground ball outs. And you got to line up with Betts and Bogarts and Ortiz and Hanley and all those guys. And you have almost 20 ground ball outs. That's really good. Now, you can make the case where Tanaka pitched the eighth. Probably. But I can't blame him if he says, you know what, I can't pitch the eighth. Especially, you know, with his elbow issue, that's a big problem. But Tanaka in the second half has been absolutely fantastic. You think back to those games in April that he could not get some wins. If Tanaka had 1 win in 5 starts in April and Tanieri under 3, he had 3 wins after May. If Tanaka had picked up a few more wins in April and May, we could be talking about him in the Cy Young conversation. He has been that good. 7-2 with a 2.58 in his last 12 starts. He has owned the Rays this season, 3-0 with a 4-start, 3-0 with a 2.22 ERA in 4 starts. I don't think he's even lost to the Rays in his career so far, so he has definitely found a good way to shut down this lineup. Some of the numbers for the Rays: Longoria is 2-for-20 with an RBI. Brad Miller does have a pair of home runs against him, but he is just 4-for-21. So right now, when you look at what's going on in this case with Tanaka, I think the Yankees will win this game. I'm along those low-scoring pitching lines. I don't know if it'll be 2-1, but I'll go 3-2. I'll go a little bit higher. Cobb will pitch well, but I think in the end Tanaka will find a way to get the W, and we'll see if the Yankees bullpen can actually hold the lead for him this time. Going to the series finale Thursday night, 7:10 Eastern on WPIX in New York, Fox Sports Done, Tampa Bay. Luis Sessa gets the ball for the Yankees. He's 4-2. With a 4.44 ERA. He goes up against Blake Snell for the Rays. Snell is 5-8 with 3.87. Snell's a young left-hander, and you get the sense how feel when you watch Blake Snell starts. Again, this is his first year in the league. He's probably not thrown that many innings before in the majors. Already up to 81 and a third at least in the majors. And you're starting to see Snell not go deep into games. He's barely getting through 5 innings, and you just get the sense maybe this is just where Snell's even starting to feel the wear and tear of a long year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. One of his biggest problems has been his pitch count. And in his last start, last week, I believe he had through 34 pitches in the first inning before he got out. And that's been his downfall. Once he gets out of the first inning, he seems to settle down a little bit. That has helped a little bit, but he still can't get through the third inning right now. And I would not be surprised if he comes out of the game early, especially if he has problems in that first inning. And it'd be very interesting to see what happens with a possible next start with him. Right now, again, his toughest thing against him is the fact of I don't know if it's not knowing what pitch to throw, but getting behind the hitters, so early has hurt him. And again, he is young. The amount of innings that he's been pitching is so much more than he's ever pitched before. So it'll be very interesting to see how Kevin Cash handles that tomorrow night.
And Snell faced the Yankees on September 9th, went 2 2/3, gave 3 runs, 6 hits. But like Ophelia mentioned, the pitch count has been a big problem for him. Just 88, threw over 88 pitches in less than 3 innings. You can't have that and be a successful starting pitcher. Against the Orioles last time out, he threw 90 pitches in 4 1/3, which is a little better, but still you want to see him at least finish 5 innings in those situations. And again, you're starting to see a guy right now just not having it in the month of September. His ERA is over 5.5. Now, again, he's getting more major league experience, so maybe the hitters are catching on a little bit. But at least his average against is down from 342 in August to 269 in September so far. So that's at least a plus for him. He's pitched pretty well against the Yankees this season, a 4.15 ERA in 3 starts, 18 strikeouts in 13 innings. So at least when he faces the Yankees, now Toronto's ERA is lower, but he has decent success. Some of the numbers for the Yankees, at least against Blake Snell, Billy Butler has an RBI. So maybe he'll have a big series. And of course, Gary Sanchez, he likes hitting home runs. And Sanchez had a home run in that game against Blake Snell as well. Looking at it for Luis Sessa's side of things, Sessa, not a bad guy against the Red Sox. Again, he struggled to strike out hitters. He only had one strikeout, didn't walk anybody. But the Red Sox got those extra base hits in some big spots. Tanley Ramirez, he had a huge series, RBI single in the first, home run in the fourth. He had two runs allowed in the first inning, settled down after that, and at least pitched into the at least got through five innings, only through 64 pitches. Again, this is where you can criticize Joe Girardi a little bit. I understand Sessa maybe hasn't earned going 100 pitches, but 70 against the Rays in September 11th, 64 against Baltimore. Like, I think Sessa should be allowed to throw 85, 90 pitches. When you look at what this guy has done since being called up, you can at least guarantee, or not a guarantee, but you can at least know this guy more often than not is going to give you 5 innings. More often than not, he's going to give you an opportunity to win a ball game. Now, he may struggle with the long ball, and that's been his issue. 9 home runs in the last 5 games. Of course, this is a lineup that loves to hit the home run. It's been a problem, and that's why Seth has got an ERA of over 7 against the Rays this year. But when you get to the last 2 weeks of the season, I understand Girardi's trying to get to the playoffs and things like that. Right now, to me, I want to see what Lee Sessa can do, and I want to see this guy get to 85, 90 pitches and have the opportunity to get through 6 innings and put up those quality outings. I think that's going to be key for him. Longoria had 3 RBIs against him. Dickerson's got a home run. Logan Forsythe's got a home run, and Brad Miller's got a home run as well. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I'm going to lean toward the Yankees. I think if Blake Snell can't, at least Seth, like I said, is going to get you through 5. Right now, you can't even guarantee Blake Snell can get you through 3. So if this game comes down to whose bullpen is used more, and I understand everybody's got like 13, 14, 15 pitchers right now, so maybe that's not a huge deal. But I'm going to go with the Yankees in sort of like one of those high-scoring, close ball games. I'm going to go like 8-5. The Yankees find a way to win and get 2 out of 3, which would be a disappointment because I think they're going to sweep this day in this thing at all. Althea, your thoughts on the series finale Thursday?
Well, the thing is, you know, like you said, and I said earlier, if Blake Snell can get out of the first inning, that's going to be the key right there. But as far as Sessa goes, I've only seen him pitch one time. And of course, that was, you know, against the Rays the last time he faced them and everything. From what I've seen of him and read of him and everything, he's very, very competitive, as is Blake Snell. So you got two young and up-and-coming pitchers here. Like you said, Sessa, though, has not pitched as many innings as Snell, and he has gone further in the games. That is a plus right there. To the Rays right now, yes, they have plenty of guys in the bullpen to help out. But for Snell, with having a possibility of one more start this season, to me, this will be a very, very big plus for him. If he can get through the first inning and at least get into the fifth inning, if at all, would be a key for him and would definitely, help him out tremendously. I mean, the last time that Snell went at least 5 innings, he happened to pick up a win, and that came against Toronto, and that was the back September the 3rd. But in that game, in the 6 innings, he still threw 104 pitches. So, you know, looking at his pitch count chart through the entire season, even when he was pitching strong in July, where he was getting into the 6th inning, he's well over 100 pitches. This year, the longest outing that he's ever gone is 6 2/3 innings, and he did that only twice all season. Other than that, you know, he's been averaging 5 or less innings. So for Snell right now, tomorrow's game, not tomorrow's game, but the third game of the series, is, in my opinion, is a big game for him. As far as the game goes, you're taking the Yankees. I'm going to take the Rays in this game. I think Longo is going to have some success against Sessa, as is Brad Miller. We might have a few homers hit in that game. I'm calling this one not a tight game, but a little bit of a romp on the set. In the case of the Rays, and I'm going out as 11-2.
We've looked at the 3 pitching matchups in the series. We talked about the attachment from Rays colored glasses during the Ink Squared Radio Show. I'm your host and your staff writer, Ricky Keeler. Well, let's talk about some hitters. And again, this is the Rays team with their fair share of injuries to some key hitters, but they do have some great options in this lineup. Althea, give me your hitters that you're watching in this series.
Oh, in this series, definitely going to watch Corey Dickinson. I mean, he's been one of the hottest Rays hitters out there in the last couple of games. I mean, he's got, with his extra base hits, he's among the team leaders in doubles and in triples. And he's third on the team in home runs and third in team on RBIs. 51% of his hits this season have gone to extra bases, which is the highest ratio by a Ray since Carlos Pena back in 2009. That is really surprising. Unfortunately, in the Baltimore series, wasn't that great for him, but he's still, in my opinion, a tough guy to look for. Of course, Kevin Kiermaier continues to own the second spot, you know, in the lineup. He's hitting .332 since August the 27th. To see his average jump up to .247 from .219. This month of September, he is tied with his 5 home runs, tied his own career high for most of the calendar month. And his on-base percentage this month has been off the charts, sixth in the American League. And, of course, you know, you've got Evan Longoria. Prior to yesterday's game, Longo had homered in 3 consecutive games. He now has a career-high 35 home runs, which is third in the club history to Carlos Pena, who had, of course, 46 back in 2007. And 39 in 2009. He has, you know, he's been setting not only records for the club, but his own individual records. The key thing here is that Longo has surprised a lot of fans the way, you know, he's hitting this season, and he credits that to the fact that he went into this year not necessarily watching videos of what he did right and what he did wrong in prior years, but instead decided to write down and set goals for himself. And he said that has been the biggest asset and the reason for his biggest improvement, for him to have a phenomenal end to the season, to where he is very close to you know, on his RBI total of at least getting 100, which is just, you know, around the point. He only needs 6. Surprisingly, he has no stolen bases this year. But then again, who looks to Evan for hitting, you know, for getting on base and stealing bases? And, of course, you know, there's Brad Miller. Unfortunately, he had a rough go on the road trip. He was only, I believe, 6 for 38 or 6 for 39. But he does have 3 home runs so far in the month of September. And his 28 home runs, believe it or not, is just 1 home run shy of matching his career total of 29, which came in 343 games and over 1,100 at-bats prior to this season. So those are the 3 guys that I'm looking at right now.
Now, on the Yankee side of things, I'm going to go with the cheap pick here for number one. Of course, you got to watch Gary Sanchez. I mean, this guy continues to be amazing in these games. Right now, with the way the injuries are going, he might be the lone offense. He's only hitting .250 at the time, but he's got 5 home runs. He had a 3-hit night last night, including another home run, 3 homers in his last 6 games. He just continues to find ways to amaze people. His on-base is nearly .400. He's hitting almost .330. OPS over almost 1,100 right now. It's been amazing to watch him this season. He only has 5 hits against the Rays, but 3 of them are home runs this season. So he's going to be my pick here, obviously, being number one. Billy Butler is going to be my other pick here. And as I talked about earlier, they got Butler because of the Aaron Judge injury. He wouldn't be on the postseason roster if they made it anyway, but he's done a nice job at least in the Red Sox series. He had a hit in all 4 games that he played in, had a home run Friday night and a couple RBIs. Can play some first base a little bit. Now, you'll see Mark Teixeira in games that Butler does play. But I think he has done a decent job, at least filling in right now, with those injuries. Butler, of course, had a rough season with the A's, had the issue with Danny Valencia. So the guy they formerly called Country Breakfast, maybe he can have some success here against Tampa Bay and against the Rays this season. He hit .308, four hits and 13 at-bats. So maybe we'll see Butler continue that success that he had at Fenway Park. So I'm going to go with Gary Sanchez and Country Breakfast, a.k.a. Billy Butler. That's two guys going to watch in this series. A couple more questions for you, SD. And with a few games left, obviously the Rays are going to start looking ahead to next year. Now, I don't think they're going to trade their closer again because Alex Colomay is having a fantastic season, 34 for 36 in saves. You mentioned some guys like Nick Franklin could be keys going to next year. If you are the Rays front office right now, what is your biggest need the Rays need to address this winter?
Biggest need, in my opinion, is some decent middle relievers. I mean, nothing against some of the guys that they have on there right now. And I think the biggest problem with the Rays this season is the fact that the starters, the first half, didn't give you the five-plus innings. Therefore, you've got, you know, an overworked, overused, and overabused pitching staff. There are quite a few guys down in the minor leagues that are, you know, itching to come up here and do their thing. But I think right now the relief corps is in desperate need of some veteran arms. I mean, Steve Yelts last year was, you know, basically unhittable. This year has been just the opposite, though, in his last couple of times, you know, and, you know, he's done the job and everything. But I don't know if the Rays are going to hang on to, you know, a guy like Yelts. Ryan Garten, who is a rookie, has been okay, but I don't think he's the go-to guy. They've got Eddie Gamboa, who's a knuckleball pitcher. I'd like to see him around, you know, next year. But, again, that's going to be a hit or miss. He's only been in two games with the Rays so far since debut. But definitely they need to get some middle relievers to go along with Boxberger. And you got Colomay. Of course, you've got Cedeno, who's right now is day to day with neck stiffness, and I doubt that he'll come back this season. I think they're gonna, you know, let him have the rest of the year to kind of, you know, get back on track. They do have some pieces here that possibly, you know, could go in for, you know, some trade bait, possibly Erasmo Ramirez. Any Romero. So at this point, again, that's where I would be looking at right now. I think Chase Whitley, who is coming back from Tommy John surgery, will be with the Rays next year. I don't think that they would have kept him, you know, putting him through the rehab and everything. And again, he's done extremely well in his two appearances since he came back and joined the Rays. So really you've got, in my opinion, you really have Whitley. You've got, of course, Alex Colomay. You've got Xavier Cedeno and Brad Boxberger. Now you got to get the other guys in the front end. So you've got plenty of guys to go to the rear end. So that's what I would think the Rays are going to be looking at. As far as offensive needs, I think they've got everything that they need. Question mark really is whether or not the Rays will re-sign Logan Morrison. He was only signed for the 1 year at $4.2 million. Again, I don't know if they want to take the chance on him or just say thank you very much for the 1 year and let's move on. In my opinion, on that GM, I was not satisfied with what he did this year. I don't think it's going to make a difference next year. I'd like to see a guy like Richie Schaefer, who, in my opinion, given the opportunity to play every day, the opportunity. And so that's where that stands. But as far as everything else, I think the Rays are pretty much set with with what they've got.
That would be up. So take note, Rays front office. That's how he is planned. We'll see. We'll see how much they decide to file that plan in the winter. Last question for you. You look at the AL East right now, and again, it's still pretty close. Red Sox starting to distance themselves, but both teams, like I mentioned earlier, occupied the two wild card spots. Take a look at your crystal ball, Althea. How many teams out of the AL East end up making the playoffs when it's all said and done next week?
Oh wow, that's a biggie. Definitely think Boston, of course, is going to be there. The question mark right now is going to be whether or not the Yankees can do anything. I'll be honest, I'm not a Boston Red Sox fan. I don't think there are many of us that are Boston Red Sox fans. I think the Orioles have a great shot. I would be very, very surprised to see all the teams make it. Of course, they're not going to. But I really feel that the Sox are going to hold on. Baltimore, at this point, what are they? They're, what, 1.5 back or 2 back of the they're one game up on the wild card over the Blue Jays. I'm thinking it's going to be the Orioles that are going to get in, and as the wild card, I don't think the Blue Jays are going to make it. And as far as anybody else, I think that's about it. The Yankees, they've got a long way to climb. They've got 4 games back and a wild card, and I don't know offhand who the Yankees go to following the Rays. So that could be very, very interesting. But at this point, definitely feel it's going to be Boston and the Orioles that are, you know, for the Orioles taking the wild card.
Yeah, David Ortiz, another home run tonight. He's up to 35 this season, so the Red Sox now 5-1 on the sixth inning against Baltimore. So barring a big collapse here, the Red Sox will get their AL East lead up to 4 games and at least assure they're going to leave Baltimore with the division lead. Right now they're the favorites in the division. Porcello's been great. Price has been great. Their lineup's been good. Best, to me, looks like the MVP frontrunner right now the way he's been hitting. The question will be those wild cards and Baltimore, you got to go with them playing better. They're going to get one. I'm not so sure about Toronto. I need to see how they play against the Orioles. Against the Mariners because of that pitching. Marco Estrada being injured. And the Yankees, they're not going to make it, but they could. But their schedule playing Toronto, Baltimore, and Boston after Thursday night, they're going to play a factor in this. They're going to determine at least out of Toronto or Baltimore who makes the playoffs if both don't make it. And keep an eye on Detroit. I still think they have a definite possibility down the stretch. So, Althea, before we let you go, tell listeners about what's going on over at Rays Colored Glasses. What can they see when they go online and view it through your Rays Colored Glasses and how they can follow you and the site on Twitter?
Okay. Well, right now, of course, you know, touching base with, you know, the Rays injuries and everything, doing a little bit of analysis as far as the guys down in the minors, the prospects that are not on the 40-man roster, looking to earn a roster spot, for some of them possibly next year, and for some of the others, of course, a year or two down the road. And lots of good stuff going to be coming up as we head into the off season. Going to be looking at some prospect analysis of some of the guys that could possibly be next year. And one of the things that I'm getting ready to start putting together is, on Nick Franklin and Brad Miller is possibly being the next two super utility guys on the Rays. And you can follow me at, or follow us, actually, at Rays Colored Glasses on Twitter. And, of course, on our Facebook page, Rays Colored Glasses. And as always, and I've said it before, if we have any passionate Rays fans out there that are interested in joining us at Rays Colored Glasses as a writer, just go online to Rays Colored Glasses and follow the link. to fansided.com and apply to write for us. We are looking for writers, and you don't need to have a journalist background, just be passionate about the Rays. And I think that sums everything up for us, Ricky.
That's it. Go to Rays Club Glasses. Go check them out. And again, if you're interested in joining Fanside, as always, feel free to apply. I'll see you again. Thanks for joining us this season. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk again down the road. Thanks for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ricky.
That's us. See you, Pastron. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties there. And again, I think when you look at the series, the Yankees like have to sweep to have any chance of staying in this race, because those last 10 games are pretty brutal after Tampa Bay. Our last minor league update of the season, not our last one, but our second to last one, of course, Trenton, they lost the Eastern League Championship to Akron, so congrats to the Rubber Ducks on winning. But Scranton's in there in the AAA National Championship game. They ended up winning those last three games over Gwinnett, giving up only one run over the last three. So Scranton will play in the AAA Championship game tomorrow night in Memphis, Tennessee. They're going to be taking on the El Paso Chihuahuas, who are the Padres affiliate. This is the Coast League. This is the PCL champ against the International League champ. It's on MLB.tv. I believe it's also on NBC Sports Network. So if you want to watch the game, it's 8:05 Eastern. I believe Jordan Montgomery is supposed to start for Scranton. So chance for one of these Yankee affiliates to win a championship. Scranton's had a fantastic season. Donovan Solano has been, again, they called up Solano and Williams, helped this team out. We've seen Ben Gamble before he got traded, Aaron Judge, Rep Snyder, et cetera. Scranton's had a strong year. We'll see if they can take on the title tomorrow night. El Paso beat the Dodgers affiliate in the final, so. It should be an interesting game to watch tomorrow night, and good luck to the Scranton Roadrunners to try to take down the championship. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at YGY Radio Show, at YankSchoolYardFS, or follow me on Twitter at RickNator555. You can like us on Facebook. Just search YankSchoolYard, the like button. All of our stuff is on the Facebook and Twitter page, so feel free to give us a look. Here's a couple of samples of what's on the site right now. When you look at some of the articles, Mike Calandrillo, our co-editor, has more on blaming Joe Girardi for this weekend. I do agree. And more, Evan Halpineberger has more on any chance the Yankees have at the playoffs. He also writes about Dan Duquette, mentioned the Yankees as maybe a team that could look to acquire Yoenis Cespedes in free agency next year. Oh, not Dan Duquette, Jim Duquette. Dan Duquette's the Orioles. Jim Duquette wrote about that one. Sorry about that one. Mike has more on the Yankees' decision with Ron Rechtsnyder, and I'm kind of in agreement, not agreement, well, you can read the article, but I think the Yankees do have to make a choice, and I think Rechtsnyder's not that super prospect everybody was excited about. He's a decent player. He's one of those guys that I would look to trade. Maybe he can find a role with another team, get a fresh start kind of thing. Evan wrote about also Nick Cafaro's report. The Yankees could be on Jose Fernandez this winter. Again, they need elite pitching. I think that's really their key going into this winter, is trying to find pitching. Free agent crop is thin. You want to find a way to get some pitching. Fernandez might be an idea. Sale might be an idea. If you're looking to, if you want to deal some of those prospects, so the Yankees have built up this great farm system, those are the guys you deal for. Fernandez, you could have him for a couple of years and try to extend him. So keep an eye on the pitching rumors this winter. It should be interesting. Of course, you have on the injuries to Castro and Ellsbury as well. We're going to be back Thursday night in all likelihood, 10 o'clock Eastern. After the Yankees-Rays game. We'll look ahead to that four-game. Remember, it's a four-gamer in Toronto Friday to Monday. So we'll talk more about the Blue Jays, the collapse they're going through right now. We'll also talk more along the lines of Jose Bautista and Encarnacion. Is John Gibbons' job safe right now? Because if they miss the playoffs, I don't know if John Gibbons keeps his job. So a lot going on in Toronto. They've had the worst record in baseball this month. Yankees just swept them a few weeks ago. So we'll have a lot of fun with that one. Hopefully we'll get you a Blue Jays guest for that show. Again, that's Thursday night. Only three series preview shows left. So it should be a fun end to the finish, regardless of how this turns out for the Yankees. My thanks to Althea Pashman from Rays Car Glasses for joining the show. And as always, give us a follow. We definitely do appreciate you guys listening to the show. For Mike Calandrillo, for Evan Halpineberger, our co-editors, for Phil Ockray, Aaron Dorch, Corey Klaus, Brian Dunshy, Ryan Ratty, Eddie Sapienza, Tyler Churchman, Luke Becker, Josh Levin, and Sammy Cristatello. I'm your host and your staffer, Ricky Keel, reminding you of a great week. Enjoy Yankees Rays, and we'll see you back here Thursday night. to look ahead to the Yankees' final visit north of the border this season against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.